Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Happy New Year. Great to have you with us on this Friday, heading into another big weekend. Steelers and Ravens coming up tomorrow night. That'll be the primetime game on CBS. And that'll be tomorrow night, following, of course, Carolina as the Panthers take on the Arizona Cardinals. That's on ESPN tomorrow. And then make the shift, by the way, into, obviously, the Sunday games. That'll include the Cowboys and the Detroit Lions. Looking forward to that as well. New England and Denver have the byes on one side. Green Bay and Seattle have the byes on the NFC. And they are all sitting and waiting. And for Green Bay, that buys time for Aaron Rodgers. And the most famous calf right now in Wisconsin is not been born in a barn. The most famous calf in Wisconsin belongs to the quarterback. That's what you've got right now, what they're working on. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Did I mention beer? Yeah, you need to stock up for the weekend. You got four NFL playoff games coming up this weekend. Just kind of sit back and enjoy a little bit of ice rolling into the area tomorrow. You really don't want to travel around that much tomorrow. Just watch football. Start the thing, what, at 4, 4:30 tomorrow? And look forward to that and have a good time with that. That'll be great. And, of course, you also have, beyond that, of course, the pickle bar, which is second to none. Love the barrel pickles. And also, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And snacks and soft drinks. It's Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motor Studio. 100 years. Here we are at 2015. 100 years. You do not have a 100-year business unless you have figured out over time how to react, how to adapt, and how to serve customers over and over. The repeat customers at Sunbury Motors, they tell the story. 100 years. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Penn State football news. We know Donovan Smith has opted for the NFL draft. That is not a surprise. He had told me back in July that he was really thinking about it. I asked him about it at Yankee Stadium after the walkthrough on Friday, after practice on Friday. I said, so? He said, yeah, this is it. So, I mean, you know, I mean, it wasn't as if he didn't tell anybody. He had indicated he was going to go, and so that was no surprise. Deion Barnes, I was a bit surprised. Now, I know Deion Barnes has his degree. He's coming off a really good year. Do I think personally that another year could have helped him? Yeah, of course I do. And again, if I thought that he was at that topping out point and it wasn't going to help him, I'd tell you straight out that, you know, but you have to make your own decision. And, you know, Penn State's not as if Penn State's not going to have some depth at that defensive end spot next year, even though they've lost C.J. Alani and Deion Barnes and Brad Barnes. They're still going to – Torrence Brown, you're going to love watching Torrence Brown play. And Carl Nassib, that motor goes all the time. And then we'll see what they want to do at other spots. You have between now and January 15th. January 15th is the cutoff date. And whether anybody else decides to announce, we'll find out. I mean, others have taken a look at it. It's not as if Jesse James and Jordan Lucas and Anthony Zettel and so forth have not said, hey, look, I'll take a look. Give me some information. Then after that, you have to find out exactly, you know, where they stand with all this. But Penn State's coming off their bowl win. They beat Boston College 31-30 in overtime. For James Franklin, it is year one. Okay? It's year one. It's a year next week that he was hired by Penn State. Right, you don't wave a magic wand and then suddenly you're 12-0 and you're playing in the national semifinal. It takes time, especially when you've been knocked down scholarship wise and you're trying to build it back up. So I sat down and I talked to the head coach of the Nittany Lions and I asked him about the bottom line. The one thing a couple quick things before I get to this. Number one, James Franklin has, quote, an image, a stereotype, and you know how I feel about stereotypes, of being, he walks in, he's got the tailored suit, he looks good, and he walks in, hi, I'm James Franklin, how are you? No. James Franklin can walk into any corporate boardroom without question in the suit and look at everyone else and motivate them to be the best they can be. No question. So I'll tell you that straight up. But I'll tell you the other part. James Franklin can mingle in the white-collar world as easily as he can mingle in the blue-collar world because he has a blue-collar, nose-to-the-grindstone work ethic. I'm around this guy all the time. It's work, work, work. He is constantly talking to people. How can I make the organization better? And then he's trying to implement it. He's talking to players. He's talking to other former coaches, things like that. Brings them in. How's the operation running? Are we doing it right? Right. And then he works. He's blue collar. That can operate easily in the white collar world anytime he needs to. All right. That's why I laugh about, you know, when people talk about that. And because of that, there's a couple parts about him I'm really impressed with. And I've mentioned this to groups, and I said, look, this is the best I've felt about the about the long-term future of Penn State football. It's the best I've felt about it in 5 years. That's one. And I've been very direct with people about that. I've said that with him there and not there. And I've also said that, look, I said, I want to be around somebody. And I said this about Patrick Chambers, and I think we're seeing some of the fruition of that with Patrick Chambers. You can tell when you're around somebody that, A, knows where they want to go. I think most people know where they want to go in life. Most people do. The ones that are ultra successful are the ones that know how to get there. It takes time and it takes patience. Well, I see that in James Franklin. He knows where he wants to go. We all know that. But more importantly, he knows how to get there. And one of the keys to getting there is to follow through and maybe make an adjustment here and there, but follow through on your plan and not panic. And I talked to him about that last week.
I think it's critical. You know, seeing this thing and seeing the big picture and the long-term plans that we have and where we're going, you start second-guessing, you start changing the plan, you start panicking, and that's where 2 to 3 years down the road you're not where you want to be, and that's why. So I think that's very, very important. I think the fact that we've been together as a staff is helpful with that, the fact that we've been down this road before. We talked about, when we got here, that we were going to do more with more. And in the past, we've done less with more. More with less, excuse me. You know what I'm saying? So being at Penn State, we're excited.
Yeah. The next part is moving forward. You're still going to be a young team next year. You're going to have 41, 42 either redshirt freshmen or freshmen on the team. But do you feel like you've laid a foundation for what the program can be?
Yeah, and I think the probably the bigger part, and we talked about this early in the year, was just everybody on the same page and trust in the process and a new way of doing things. And for a team that's been through 5 head coaches, and you're asking them to invest in a new plan, and they're like, "Well, we've just invested in the last 4 guys' plan." I think that's going to be really helpful moving forward.
When you look at your staff, the fact that you've been together so long together, how much easier has that made this process? Because patience is not a key part of the process, but this time it has to be.
Yeah, I think it really helps. You can't take things for granted. You got to make sure you cover things as a group and make sure everybody's on the same page. But the fact that we've been in these situations before, I know how these guys are going to react. They know how I'm going to react. All those things are really valuable. It saves a lot of time because it's not the first time doing something.
And the next part is, you've done a lot of short-term things in your career. How excited are you because you're involved in something long-term?
Yeah, it's really exciting. You don't go in, I don't think, to any situation thinking it's going to be short-term. But we also realize that we're now at a place that we can build it, and we can build it the right way for the long-term and really start to reap some of the rewards of the work. Every place we've been, you started the project, and then you leave right when you got it about right. So that's really
That's head football coach James Franklin. And again, that's going to be all the way through talking about his team, the staff, the direction they want to go, and the fact that they're all on the same page. I know there's been a lot of talk about Bob Shoop and You know, he's down in Nashville right now. And what's a, look, Bob Stoops' son, good football player in Nashville, played, I think it was his senior season. So Bob has been living here in State College while his wife and children have been in Nashville. Well, of course he went back to Nashville when the season was done. Of course he did. It was great at Thanksgiving because it was Thanksgiving Day, as a matter of fact. Penn State practiced in the morning Thanksgiving Day before the Michigan State game. And what was great was Bob's wife and his sons were waiting for him when practice was over, and I had a chance to meet them. And I make no secret, Bob Stoops and I have become friends, good friends over this time. I really like being around Bob Stoops a lot. A lot. We share the same interests, whether it's football, deep love of baseball, things like that. And, you know, and the separation part has not been easy for him, but they did it for the right reasons. Instead of relocating their son here and then putting him in school and so forth and then playing ball here, they just decided to keep him in that same spot in Nashville and then play the season out. And I'm trying to think Herb Hand's son may have done the same thing. I mean, those are the that's the tough part of this job. And there have been a lot of people, you know, there are a lot of things, you know, LSU is interested, North Carolina is interested, and so forth. Well, a lot of people ought to be interested in Bob Stoops. He did a heck of a job. He did a heck of a job. But I've also had some people say to me, what's he doing in Nashville? Why isn't he in State College? In Nashville because he's with us. That's right now where his house is. Okay, that's where his family is. He wanted to spend some time with them when the season was over with. All right, just everybody, don't panic. Penn State's got a great defensive coordinator. All right, don't panic. You know, so, I mean, there's a lot more to it. But again, Donovan Smith, Deion Barnes, right now the only two that have declared for the NFL draft. Donovan Smith, I knew he was going to do it. I mean, so that was there. It was no surprise, just a question of when he was going to do it. I mean, that was a given. And Deion Barnes, I was a bit surprised. I thought, you know, I mean, he has to do what's best for him. And he has the talent, there's no question. And I hope he does well at the combine. Now, do I think it would have behooved him to maybe have another season? Yeah, I think it would have, because I think he was on track to really making strides, because he had a great freshman year, redshirt freshman year on the field. Great. And last year as a sophomore, yeah, people kind of caught on to his game a little bit, and it took him a little while to really adjust. This year, he had really adjusted. He really had a very good season this year. I mean, no question. He had a very good season this year. And I give him a lot of credit for how he played. He also has his degree, just like Donovan Smith does. Also has his degree. And I think, to the credit of each guy, that, you know, they went out, and they both also, in going out, both took a moment and gave credit to Joe Paterno and playing for him. I thought that was really a great touch and very classy on the part of both young men. So now it's between now and January 15th. And, you know, others obviously have done the right thing and they've inquired about the NFL draft. I mean, you always need to find out, okay, where do I stand? What can I do? Because each one of them wants to be. When you're recruited, everybody has the goal of getting to the NFL. Every single person that gets recruited. All right? And, you know, when you get that opportunity, you want to find out whether or not, because you want to go to the next level. That's the money level, for goodness sakes. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. So I don't blame them for wanting to find out. They should find out. If it's my son, I'd say find out. Find out what they're telling him. Also, James Franklin, it's not as if James Franklin is not connected with the NFL. He was an assistant coach with the Green Bay Packers. He knows people in the league, in the show. He can contact some people and say, give me a read on my guy here. That's what Joe Paterno did for years. He said, look, let me always, he always told players, he said, look, let me make a couple phone calls. Let me find out what they're saying about you. Okay? And then he'd give them an honest answer. That, and that's, in the end, you're going to get far more respect as a coach when you take that approach and then players find out that that's the approach you take. I thought for Dean Smith, way ahead of the curve. Dean Smith was way ahead of the curve on stuff like this. Always. Early on, the number of guys that left North Carolina went to the NBA early because he said, look, you know, he encouraged them. Hey, if you're ready, go. Don't stay for me. Don't stay for the glory of North Carolina. He says, you've done what you need to do here. Go. And you end up recruiting more players because of it. There, you know, there's a cause and effect to it. And so. All right. Ohio State won last night, played a great game. Elliott played terrific. Blake Sims, fifth-year quarterback. As you know, I was never sold on him as a college quarterback. Came through last night, did not play well. And that was, you know, that ended up being one of the keys of the game. Cardale Jones played well enough. I mean, he made some big throws in the game. I give him credit for that. They go into the game against Oregon, which will be a week from Monday. I'm not so sure. But for the Big Ten, this has been a 5-4 bowl season so far, with Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State winning, along with Rutgers winning and Wisconsin winning. But as I pointed out the bowl records earlier, this is before we got into the segment with James Franklin. We're going to hear from Patrick Chambers briefly in the next half hour as well. Is that when you look at the Big Ten bowl records, this is since Penn State joined the conference. Penn State's 11-5 now in bowl games. Ohio State is now 10-10. Wisconsin is now 10-10. Michigan is 9-10. Iowa is 8-7. They play against Tennessee later. Michigan State's now 6-9. Nebraska's 1-3. Northwestern is 1-9. Minnesota's now 3-8. They've lost 7 in a row. Illinois is 4-3. Purdue is 5-6. Indiana's 0-2. Rutgers is 1-0. Maryland's 0-1. Penn State has the best bowl record of any team in the Big Ten since Penn State joined the conference. They have more wins than any team in the Big Ten since joining the conference. And that's despite the fact being denied bowl games the last 2 years. The 2012 team, Bill O'Brien's team, I would have been shocked if that team lost a bowl game the way they played down the stretch. I would have been shocked. The way they played down the stretch in 12, I don't think a lot of, they would have gone to Outback, Capital One, something, they would have won the game. Last year, I'm not so sure. I don't know. Not sure about last year. Last year was an odd year in a lot of ways, where they had that awesome game against Michigan where it went, they won in four overtimes. They played a great game against Wisconsin, but then they struggled against Indiana, Ohio State, and so forth. It was really up and down. So that one I couldn't tell. The way 12 finished, I think Bill O'Brien would have taken that team in a bowl game. They would have won. But Penn State has been in bowl games. They've been the standard bearer for the Big Ten. They've got 11 wins, and then yesterday Wisconsin and Ohio State kept pace by getting their 10th wins respectively in the Big Ten, and good wins too. I mean, good wins. Auburn, Alabama. Oh, isn't that the vaunted SEC West? Yeah, it is. Next half hour here from Patrick Chambers. We're also going to talk about the NFL playoffs coming up in the next half hour, including the Ravens taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers in the wild card. How about that? Ravens and Steelers wild card. Le'Veon Bell, not so sure. Boy, at 100%, they would have been a lock to win that game. If Le'Veon Bell, 100%, my opinion, the Steelers would have been a lock. Not only to get past the Ravens tomorrow night, but I would have put him past Denver into the AFC Championship game, and then you roll the dice and see what you do with New England. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street,
the Sunbury
and
Motor Company
Beverage
has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday and Happy New Year, everybody. Great to have you with us, Steve Jones Show. Yes, Steve Jones Show rolls into 2015. Kevin Herr's got Shikellamy basketball, of course, coming up down the road here as well. Here in the Chief, Dave Ritchie, looking forward to that as well. Looking forward to a great 2015 as well. We've got some great guests coming up. Our thanks, by the way, James Franklin carved out a little time in the last half hour. You can check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast as well. Get his thoughts on the future and where they are with Penn State football. In a few moments, a quick conversation with Patrick Chambers as well. Nittany Lion basketball team lost the opener to Wisconsin on Wednesday at the Kohl Center, 89-72 Wisconsin. 1.4 points per possession in that game. 1.4 points per possession. They play Rutgers tomorrow night, 7:30 at the Lewis Brown Athletic Center, the Rutgers Athletic Center, what we call the RAC. And that will be coming up tomorrow night at 7:30. Penn State comes into that game with a 12-2 record. Rutgers is 8-6. Rutgers lost its opener on Tuesday to Northwestern, 51-47. And that's the issue with Rutgers, scoring. They're only averaging 59 points per game right now. But they've also had the ability to win close games. They're 5-2 in games decided by 5 points or less. So they've won tight games. They did not win the tight game against Northwestern on Tuesday, 51-47 in their first ever Big Ten game. But that game is coming up. Again, the issue for Rutgers, again, they don't score a lot. They play pretty well defensively, but they're not a team that scores a lot of points. And Penn State will go in there. Penn State is the better offense. And you have to defend these guys. Mack is a good basketball player. Kadeem Jack also missed some time. In fact, he was late for a breakfast. And because he was late, he was held out to start the game by Eddie Jordan. So, you know, that game is going to be at 7:30. And for Penn State, look, if they can get that game, it would be a road win in the conference. I don't care who it's against. Road win against in the conference. Back at 1-1, coming home to take on Michigan for the conference opener Tuesday night at the Jordan Center. Talked to Patrick Chambers about this and more, and we discussed first of all, with him about the ability to win tight games, especially in the conference when really every game feels like it's a possession game.
Yeah, there's no question. We had a ton of them, especially early on. We had a lot of one possession games where we just got to rely on each other. We just got to trust each other. We worked on it today about talking early and often and just relying on one another. And I think that's what you need to do on the road. On the road, it's more difficult. You're in a hostile environment. You really have have to trust one another out there on the floor.
It also seems like it's a together and loose group at the same time. As a coach, you want a business approach, but do you like how they're able to loosen up?
You know what? As a coach, you have to understand when to pull back and when to push a little bit, and when, you know, let them have some fun, and it's business. This is obviously a business trip for us, but I can't always be on top of them. This is their personality. They've earned this. They've earned the right to have this environment right now.
That's Patrick Chambers, and his team will play tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Rutgers Athletic Center. By the way, the game will be on ESPN2 coming up tomorrow night, just to point that out to you as well. Look, the today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Did I mention beer? Look, you've got the playoffs coming up this weekend. The playoffs coming up this weekend. And also, you might make sure you're fully stocked. You never know who's going to show up. I mean, what if a guy like Kevin Hurst shows up? And we all know that, you know, he has to be driven home for most parts. And that's, we have to remember that. Okay? But also at the same time, snacks, they also have soft drinks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Imports, domestics, microbrews, great stuff. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And by the way, the pickle bar, this guy is a champion of the barrel pickles. All right, that'll be one of the crushing things as I go over to Rutgers, that we'll go buy Brewers Outlet. I want to stop. Come on, man. And Sunbury Motors, here it is, 2015. When did they start? Oh, 1915. Repeat customers are the statement of any business. Once you find something that you in your life, you feel dependable and is a winner to you and gives you satisfaction, that's why you keep going back over and over again. Sunbury Motors is the definition of repeat customers. So for those of you who have never dipped into the Sunbury Motors pool, do it. You'll find that, you know what, I should have gone here all along. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Roots, 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Ohio State won last night. Beat Alabama. Oregon won with relative ease over Florida State. They'll play a week from Monday at Jerry World for the national championship. All right, playoffs. Playoff schedule. Arizona and Carolina, that'll be tomorrow at 4:20 on ESPN. Then the Ravens and the Steelers play at Heinz Field. Sunday, the early game at 1 will be at Lucas Oil Stadium, where the Colts and Andrew Luck will take on the Bengals. The nightcap will be the Lions, with Ndamukong Suh in the lineup, taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Interesting, they have ripped into the field at Heinz Field, and they should. I mean, the Heinz Field situation is an issue, and I saw this at Yankee Stadium. I saw this at Yankee Stadium, and Yankee Stadium had, before Penn State played, they had Lehigh play Lafayette. Okay, fine, but then they had the public league championship games there as well, and I'll be frank with you, the field at Yankee Stadium was not in very good shape because of that. Now, look, it's November heading into December, and, you know, whatever turf you put down, you're not going to be able to grow grass, get it rooted, whatever. I understand that. And the area, what was interesting is you go the area beyond where they had the track set up for the ESPN camera track, and it was in right field at Yankee Stadium. And I walked over there for a period of time on Friday during the practice and looked at it, and you know, just on Friday, I thought the field was in lousy shape, and I made that comment on the broadcast. But when I went over to right field to just take a look at the grass there, which had not been used for football, it's just clear, right? The field was unbelievable shape, great shape, beautiful grass, and you could see it. But the field was torn up. Well, now look at Heinz Field. Heinz Field's very much in the same situation because, obviously, Pitt plays there. So you have Pitt and the Steelers both playing there, but then they have the Whipple playoffs that take place as well. And when you look at the amount of the amount of work that goes into it, it's hard to maintain the field. And again, you get to November, December, the field's, it's chewed up and it's not in great shape. And look, they're expecting we're looking at ice here tomorrow. It might actually be rain tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. Now, as for Le'Veon Bell, he says he feels great and he hopes to play in tomorrow night's game. Well, hopefully that happens. Okay? And if that happens, that changes all the dynamics. I think the game swings dramatically in the Steelers' direction if Le'Veon Bell can deliver any kind of performance. Le'Veon Bell did sit out practice this week, but he's hoping to play in the postseason game. He didn't practice Wednesday. He did some light work yesterday. He's still listed as questionable, but that means nothing. You and I, how many times have guys been labeled as questionable? He says his leg feels great. It feels good to be able to move around and not think about it much. That's huge. He said the key to playing in the game against the Ravens is getting his knee strong enough to the point where he's not even thinking about it when he's on the field. He says, I don't want to play fearing my knee getting hurt. He says that doctors have told me, okay, it's not an MCL. He says, it's not an injury like an MCL where you go out there and play and it gets worse. The doctors have told me that it's not that, that it's not something that can get worse if I do play. That's huge. And on top of that, he says, it was great for him to hear it, and because of that, he feels ready. He says, I'm definitely going to try to get on the field and play. Now, Mike Tomlin said the Steelers won't rush Bell back from the injury that did not leave any ligament damage or structural damage at all. He hyperextended it, but there's no damage in there. He has to show the Steelers, though, that he's able to protect himself, according to Tomlin. And if he can do that, then they'll allow him to play in the game. They did sign Ben Tate, functional. They did sign Josh Harris, functional, knows the playbook. All right. I've kind of laughed a little bit at Kevin and some other Steeler fans. Oh, yeah, Josh. If Josh Harris were that good, why wasn't he in the rotation? I still am waiting for answers from anybody on that. Part of the problem the Steelers have had in not making the playoffs the last couple of years is that they have not had a great running back situation. They've had really functional NFL backs. Well, Bell is an exceptional NFL back. Bell is in the conversation. In fact, I think he's the best all-around running back in the NFL, period. And again, I have a totally unbiased, no dog in the hunt opinion. You know, it's different than a Steeler fan going, I tell you, he's the best. Okay, yeah, all right. You know, everybody thinks their guy's the best. All right. I go to a Jacksonville Jaguars fan. He said, I'm telling you right now, Bortles is the best young quarterback in the league. He's going to be great down the road. Well, I don't blame you for feeling that way. You're a fan. I think Bortles will be a good NFL quarterback down the road. He just won't be elite. But there are very few elite guys. There are very few elite guys at every position. Bell is an elite guy. Aaron Murray had a great year. The Cowboys, when you look at the Cowboys, 70% of what they do on first down involves the running game. 70%. But when you look at Bell, what makes Bell, to me, the better all-around back is that, A, I think he is just as good with the football running it and decision-making as Murray is. So to me, they're dead even there. But Bell is an exceptional receiver out of the backfield and runs really good, crisp routes. I mean, you watch him come out of the backfield, he doesn't round off a route and get someplace. If he needs to cut a route, he will cut and get to a route. Right? He'll cut and get to it. But then you watch him on blitz pickup. Oh, he sticks his nose in there on blitz pickup. Sticks it right in there. I mean, I think he is tremendous when it comes to that. And look, I know how they match up with the Ravens. I like the way the Steelers match up with the Ravens. And if Bell can even play in the game at 80%, they're a better football team than the Ravens. And they're in the better bracket. They're in the better bracket. Winning this game gets you Denver in Denver. Fine. Peyton Manning is just does not look, unless something is happens with him over 2 weeks, and I, you know, and obviously in 2 weeks, maybe that's enough for him to rest up and heal up because he looks like he's playing hurt. That's the better matchup than going to New England. You know, I mean, that's, you know, that's what I think they're in the better bracket. You know, and I like the where they are in this whole thing. If they, you know, to me, if they can get through with Bell, because Roethlisberger's having an off the charts season. Look, I mean, they can win this game if Bell is even playing at 75-80% and he gets in a few snaps here and there. If he, even if he doesn't play, they can still win the game because Roethlisberger is playing at a superior level to Joe Flacco. Right now, Roethlisberger's playing at an A level. Flacco's playing at a B-plus level, okay? And that's where they are. Roethlisberger's having a phenomenal year, the best year of his career. Now, part of that is, you know, because the running game's been so good, that's fine. I think Tony Romo's having his best year because of the running game they have in Dallas. Offensive line has played great. Murray's played great. And suddenly all that play-action stuff that Romo's doing makes a big difference. Also, when the Cowboys have the lead in the fourth quarter, they can look at that offensive line and they can look at that running game and they can drive the ball downfield in the fourth quarter and eat up clock and score. So, you know, I think that that is a big part of all this. You know, the running game has really helped him. But Roethlisberger has enough in the tank and the way he's playing and the way Heath Miller's playing and Brown has played off the charts. I mean, there's, you know, there's only a handful of wide receivers are in the same class right now with Antonio Brown. And I think if you get some pressure on Flacco, you can do to him what you did to Andy Dalton. Now, obviously, Flacco's a better quarterback than Andy Dalton. I know that. But, you know, Flacco down the stretch did not play like a better quarterback than Andy Dalton either. Interesting. Now, Dalton, they get the Indianapolis Colts. The other game coming up tomorrow is Carolina and Arizona. Arizona's going to have to go with Ryan Lindley again, no Drew Stanton. To me, that takes their odds and drops them down of winning the game. If they have Drew Stanton, I think the Cardinals go in, they win it. Their defense is playing great, and Stanton allows them to possess the ball long enough to make certain things happen. Ryan Lindley, who, by the way, did have a 300-yard passing game in the last game of the season, so he looked a lot more comfortable. I give him credit. Carolina, though, to their credit, played great down the stretch. I think playing at home helps them. I think Carolina will win that game. The Lions get Ndamukong and Sue back. Okay, that's huge for this particular reason. When you're facing the number one rush offense in the league, it helps to have the number one rush defense in the league. That's the Detroit Lions, and that's led in part by Ndamukong Suh. But the problem the Lions have is this. They have to throw a lot of what they do onto the right arm of Matthew Stafford. They don't run the ball well enough. Joique Bell's okay, but they don't run the ball well enough. That's why Stafford, a year ago, remember Stafford had over 700 pass attempts last year. 700. 700 pass attempts. That's like looking at a starting pitcher saying, here's throw 150 pitches today. Every day. You're going to throw 150 every day. Dallas is at home. I expect Dallas to win. And I expect Romo to play really well. And that would then set up next weekend. I think the Steelers will win. I think they'll win by at least 10 points. I think Carolina will win. I think they'll win by at least 10 points. I think Dallas will win by at least 10 points. Indianapolis and Cincinnati I expect to be close, but I expect the Cincinnati postseason magic to continue. I expect the Colts to win by at least 10 points. Penn State basketball tomorrow night. Nittany Lions will play Rutgers. It is game two of the Big Ten season. It's on the road. If you can get a road win and get out of this thing in the opening week 1-1, because I'm going to tell you right now flat out, Wisconsin is a team that went to the Final Four last year. They have four starters back from that team, and their sixth man, Nigel Hayes, who was really good last year, is even better this year. No one is going to go into the Kohl House and into the Kohl Center. No one's going to go into the Kohl Center and beat Wisconsin this year. No one. So scratch that one off the list. Now you go to the next one, you got Rutgers. Don't expect a lot of points. In fact, if Penn State scores 65 tomorrow night, they win the game. Penn State tops 65 tomorrow night, they will win the game. And that will be tomorrow night at 7:30. DJ Newbill at 29 in the opener. They need Brandon Taylor to get going in this. Brandon Taylor, BT did not have a very good game. He airballed his first shot, and it seemed like after that, things kind of slid off. They need him to contribute 12 points and 6 rebounds in a game. He contributes 12 and 6. They've got this game. I thought Ross Travis, don't look at the numbers on Ross Travis. Ross Travis, actually, I thought played very well in Wednesday's game. Very well. Did a lot of the little things defensively. Geno Thorpe played really well, too. John Johnson was okay. Jordan Dickerson never got into the mix. They need him to get into the mix. And all that Shep Garner. Look, the spotlight did not faze him. You know, Penn State scored 72 points in the game. There's only one other team that has cracked 70 points against Wisconsin this year. That's Duke. So just, you know, just file that away. Just file that away. Penn State did score 72. All right, fun show today. Thanks to James Franklin. Check out the podcast and for the interview I had with him. Also, Patrick Chambers. You can check out the podcast for the interview with him. We got a big weekend coming up with the playoffs. Steelers-Ravens, of course, tomorrow night. Penn State basketball and Rutgers tomorrow night at 7:30. Our thanks to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up. And happy 100th birthday, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.